How confident are you, my friend? And what are you confident in? Or how unconfident are you? I mean, do you look and compare yourself with another person and say, you know, I just don't have it. My name doesn't show up. I am not recognized. I don't have any special talents or I don't have any special gifts. I just, there's nothing that I have confidence in. Oh, beloved, I've got some good news for you today from the Word of God. As I begin our study today, I feel like saying, da-da-da-da-da-da, charge! Because you know what? We're still in verse 2 of Philippians chapter 3, and we have been here for several programs, haven't we? But I know that you know that you have learned and that you have gained insights and a confirmation and an affirmation of possibly some things that have been troubling you or some things that you have had questions about. Well, now we come to that third beware. Beware of dogs. Beware of, you say it, evil workers, that's right, and beware of the false circumcision. Now, I shared with you in our last program that that word, false circumcision, is really translated false mutilation. And it's translated false mutilation because he's going to contrast it with a true circumcision. Watch what Paul goes on to say. He says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the false circumcision, for we are the true circumcision. Paul and Timothy are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Jesus Christ, and here's the clincher, put no confidence in the flesh. Now, as we looked at several programs ago, you want to mark confidence in the flesh. And you want to mark it because it's used three times and because it is very important. Remember when Jesus was on the road to Samaria in John chapter 4? And remember when he stopped and the Samaritan woman got saved? And remember when they were talking together? And as he talked with her, she was saying that this is where we worship God. We worship God at this mountain. You people worship God in Jerusalem. And Jesus said in verse 21, you worship what you do not know. But an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, and I'm in verse 23 of John chapter 4, will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshiper. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, this word worship, which you find in Philippians chapter 3, is the word L-A-T-R-E-U-O, latreo, L-A-T-R-E-U-O. Now, that's not exactly how you pronounce it, or I don't think it is, but I'm not good at phonetics, and I can't figure it out, and so don't ever imitate me. Just spell it, L-A-T-R-E-U-O. And it is used 21 times in the New Testament. And when it's used, it's talking about a service. It's talking about serving God. It's not talking about an inactivity. It is not talking about, just sitting and looking up at the heavens and adoring God. It is not talking about just singing and raising your hands and worship to God, but it's talking about an active service. You see the same word in Romans chapter 12. And in Romans chapter 12, where he says, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service of and then it's the same word. It's your spiritual service of worship. So he's talking about an act of worship. But when we worship God, we are to worship him in spirit, in the power of the spirit. Now hang on, rather than in the confidence in the flesh. Now, why does he say to them, beware of the false circumcision, for we are those who are of the true circumcision? Well, you have to understand what was happening in those days. They had a group of men that followed Paul around like dogs yapping at his heels. So wherever Paul went and he would leave, they showed up. And when they showed up, they were saying, okay, Paul's been here and he's told you that salvation is by grace, that you are under a new covenant. You are not under the law anymore. But we're telling you that you are saved by faith, but you have to be circumcised. You have to be, as a man, you have to be physically circumcised. So they were going to the Gentiles and telling the Gentiles, you must be circumcised. Now, what is circumcision? And I don't mean to be rude, but in this day and age, it's hard to shock anyone. But I want you to understand what circumcision is. In Deuteronomy, in the law, in Exodus, God told the children of Israel that they were to circumcise their children on the eighth day. As a matter of fact, this circumcision is inaugurated in Genesis chapter 17, and it's inaugurated when Abraham is told that he is going to have a son by Sarai and that Ishmael is not going to be the inheritor of the promises. And then God initiates the rite of circumcision. And a man was circumcised in the foreskin of his flesh. In other words, the male genital organs had a cutting on the flesh to roll back that flesh, all right? And it was a picture. It was a picture of something that God was going to do, all right? And he told them in Genesis chapter 17. As a matter of fact, I was trying to avoid going there simply because of time, but I think it's so important. Let's go there and let's see what God says about this. And he says in Genesis chapter 17, he says in verse 14, an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people, for he has broken my covenant. So circumcision was a sign. It was an outward ritual. Now listen, I want you to listen. I don't want you to miss this because it's important that you understand it. So circumcision was an outward ritual that was a sign of a covenant that God had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants forever. Do you remember in World War II? Do you remember when they were hunting down Jews? And maybe you have seen movies where all of a sudden they come up and they pull down the pants of a man. Or a man goes into the bathroom and they see him. And they see that he's circumcised. Immediately, they knew that had to be a Jew. Now, Gentiles do that also because it's a health thing. And it helps a man stay healthier. And it keeps women. Jewish women have less cancer of the cervix than Gentile women. And so it was a sign of the circumcision. Of the covenant. You say, well, what about the women? Well, you see, the cut in the flesh, on the flesh of the foreskin of the man, was made closest to the site of paternity. So that he could see that this covenant extended from Abraham to Abraham's seed, Isaac. From Isaac's seed to Jacob. From Jacob, whose seed, who was named Israel, to the 12 sons of Jacob or the 12 sons of Israel. So this is the rite of circumcision. But once you come into the new covenant, then there's no longer the need for circumcision. And so what had happened was these Judaizers were coming along. They were Jews, and they were saying, okay, you have to be circumcised. And saying that they had to be circumcised, then what they were doing is they were glorying in the fact, hey, I got that man to get circumcised. And they were glorying in the fact that their doctrine was spreading. Let me show you this by taking you to Galatians chapter 1. Now go back one book. And the way I remember where, two books, the way that I remember where all the epistles are, it's General Electric Power Company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And in Galatians chapter 5, he's trying to show them Galatians is like a mini Romans. I mean, it is an explanation of the gospel. And the whole thrust of Galatians is to show them that you are saved by grace and not by law. So then why are you trying to go under the law again? Why are you trying to be circumcised again? And so this is what he says in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ sets us free, freedom from the law. Now, not freedom to be lawless, but freedom from all the restraints of the law, all the ordinances of the law, so that the Spirit of God comes inside of us, and by the Spirit of God, we walk and keep the law and walk in a way pleasing to the Lord. Not all the ordinances, but the law, the Ten Commandments that everybody's trying to get rid of. And I just want you to know that if America succeeds, if the ACLU and others succeed in removing crosses and getting rid of the Ten Commandments and getting rid of prayer, then I'm telling you, God's hand of judgment is going to fall on this country. You just watch. You say, is there any way I can stop it? Yes, get revived. Get passionate about Jesus Christ. Become not just a Christian, but a fellow worker and a fellow soldier. Move forward and have the passion that we are about to see in Philippians chapter 3, where all you want is to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings and to be made conformable to His death and to press on towards the prize of the high calling. And then, beloved, you'll turn around and you will be able to turn others around. Well, with all of that, it's time for a break.
Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically. But I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation. It's not a luxury. It's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened.
Welcome back, my friend, to your passionate teacher. I get passionate about holiness. I get passionate about righteousness. I get passionate about you and I being consumed with a love for God and a love of His Word and honoring Him as God. Well, I left you in Galatians chapter 5. And we're looking at circumcision. And remember, the contrast is that they are to beware of those of the false circumcision. He says, for we are the true circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, who glory in Jesus Christ, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Those three things. We're going to look at those, but not until we look at circumcision so that you understand the difference between false circumcision and true circumcision, because even the Jews in the Old Testament were guilty, in a sense, of a false circumcision. So in Galatians chapter 5, he says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, listen carefully, Christ will be of no benefit to you. In other words, if you're going to trust in circumcision, then Christ is of no benefit, because circumcision belongs to the law. And faith in Jesus Christ belongs to grace, to understanding that it's not by the works of the law that we're saved, but it's by the hearing and believing of faith. So he goes on to say, and again, I testify to each man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. Okay, if you're going to come along and listen to these Judaizers, and they're saying if you want to be saved, you've got to be circumcised, then okay, all right, keep the whole law. Well, James 2:10 tells you if you break the law on one point, that's it. If you're under law, you can't be under grace. It's one or the other. And if you're under law, you're going to lose because you can't keep the law perfectly because you're not perfect. So he goes on to say, he says, and I, you have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. Justified means declared righteous in the eyes of God. So if you're seeking to be declared righteous in the eyes of God by law, then he says, you have fallen from grace. Now, does he mean, hey, you just lost your salvation? No, he's not saying that. He's just saying that law and grace cannot cohabitate together. You're either justified by the law or you're justified by grace through faith, one or the other. If you're justified by law, you've got to keep the whole law. If you're justified by grace, then all it is a matter of faith. And if you break the law, grace gives you forgiveness with that confession for you so that you can move on. All right, this is good stuff, but it's heavy stuff. You have to think about it. He says, for we through the Spirit by faith are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, now listen very carefully, in Christ Jesus, once you're in Christ, once Christ is in you, once you're saved, once you're born again, once you become a child of God, they're all synonymous. It says, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. In other words, it doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised. Now, if you got the study guide, if you downloaded our study guide and you went to preceptsforlife.com and you downloaded that study guide, you know how I mark circumcision. I put a knife over it, okay, because that's what they used. They used a knife to circumcise the man. And if it's not, if it's uncircumcision, I put a slash through it. So anytime I mark a key word, if it's a negative or the opposite, I simply mark it in the same way and put a slash through it. And by the way, if you haven't downloaded the study guide, you need to do it. And you need to do it, beloved, because this program is all about teaching you how to study God's Word for yourself so that you understand His precepts for life and so that you get understanding and you know that you are pleasing to God. Well, now drop down to verse 12, and let's put Galatians 5, verse 12, with Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. Okay, he says, I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. So once again, he's saying, just cut themselves off. In other words, he says, okay, go ahead and just mutilate yourself because that's all you're doing. And he's saying they're trying to mutilate you and they're mutilating your faith in the process, saying this is the way that you are saved. Now, what I want to do is I want us to go back to Philippians chapter 3, and in the margin of your study guide, in the margin of your study guide and your observation worksheets, write down these verses. And then if you want to transfer them to your Bible, you can. And that way, whenever you have your Bible with you, you'll have these cross references, which are so important. So what I want to do is I want to take you to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, and we are still looking at what he's telling us about circumcision. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, because I want you to understand that the circumcision was a picture of a genuine newness of life. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, and he's giving this law to those that have wandered in the wilderness for 40 years that did not hear it at Mount Sinai, and now they're getting ready to cross over, to go up through what is present-day Jordan and go to the top of the Dead Sea, so to speak, and cross over and go into the Promised Land. And so he wants them to know how they're to live when they get in that land. And he says in verse 6, moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul so that you may live. In other words, the one circumcision that changes you is the circumcision that comes of the heart in the New Testament. When God says, I will remove your heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh. It's a heart transplant. And so it's a real, true salvation is a circumcision of the heart, a cutting away of the old so that there is an exposure of the new. The old is stone. The new is this flesh that beats for God. You can see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, but we're not going to turn there right now. The next verse I want you to look at is in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4, the prophet. Now, Jeremiah is prophesying, and he starts prophesying during the days of Josiah, when they find the Word of God that has gotten lost in the house of God, and then what happens is there is a revival, and that's what I'm hoping will happen as a result of our program, that it will revive you, beloved, that it will give you new life. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4, and what does the prophet say? As he speaks to these people that are in sin, he's telling them to return and they won't return. And he says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Remove the foreskins of your heart, men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, or else my wrath will go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your deeds. Circumcise your heart. The Judaizers were saying, circumcise your male organs. And God is saying, that's not going to help at all. Only a circumcision of the heart will help. And that, beloved, is your precept for life for you to think about today. Is your heart circumcised? Do you have a new heart?
The Encounter Student Conference is more than an experience. It is a weekend designed to encourage and equip students in the Word of God and establish a process of discipleship that they can continue to walk out in their homes and churches. Over the course of the weekend, students and their leaders will encounter God while learning practical skills that will allow them to dig into the Word through the inductive study method. It is our hope that these skills would equip students and leaders to build a lifestyle that constantly seeks to be transformed by God's truth. This year at the conference, your groups will walk together through the 40-minute study, Ignite Your Passion for God, to discover how to cultivate a deep desire for the Lord. The Encounter Student Conference will help your group create a community that is built on a common foundation, the truth that you are discovering together. Come and ignite your passion for God with us December 2nd through the 4th. Go to transformstudent.org and register today for the Encounter Student Conference.
Before we look at our precept for life for today, that one thing that we want to hold on to, that one thing that we want to live by, I've got to tell you something. I love you. I love you so much. And you say, you don't even know me. I know I don't know you. I know some of you, and you've made yourself known to me, but I love you. I love you because you love the Lord. I love you. You say, I don't love the Lord. I'm listening to you, and my life is in a mess. I love you. And I love you because God is drawing you to Himself, beloved. And because what He wants to do is He wants to give you a new heart. This is what faith in Jesus Christ is all about. Listen, He told about it. He described it in the Old Testament. And this is what He says to them. He says in verse 26 of Ezekiel 36, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you." I will put my Holy Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. The new covenant is what gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables you to do what you've tried to do and you couldn't do. Like me, you've tried to be good and you couldn't be good. I tried to be good. I couldn't. I was immoral. I was a failure as a mother. I was a failure as a wife. My husband, I divorced him. I became immoral. I came to know Christ. I told God I'd go back to Him. But my husband had committed suicide. And that's exactly what I told him to do before I ever came to know Jesus Christ. So in essence, I murdered him with my tongue. But you know what? I've been forgiven. I determined after I saw my sin that I would be good. But the good I wanted to do, I couldn't do. And the evil I didn't want to do, I did. I was a wretched, miserable woman, and I tried so hard to please God, but I couldn't. And you've tried hard to please God, and you can't. And you can't because what you need, beloved, is a new heart. You need to get rid of the heart of stone. You need a heart of flesh. You need to have the Holy Spirit come and live inside of you. You need to have your sins forgiven, and then God will cause you to walk in His statutes. So all you need to say to Him is, God, I've heard what this woman says. I've heard your word, and I believe you, and I want to be set free. I want a heart of flesh. I want to be your child. And He'll answer.
Thank you for watching today's program. To study along with us, download your free copy of the Philippians Study Guide by logging on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. And to find out more about Precept Ministries International, or if you're looking for a Precept Bible study class in your area, click onto our website or call us today, 1-800-763-1990. Join us next time as we continue our look into the Word of God.